We're going to title this message tonight, Calamities. Calamities, that's what's going to be the name of it. If you look down at the title of Psalms 57, you'll notice the situation it says to the chief musician of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. So in this particular time, that King David wrote this, it was a time when he was running away from King Saul. Y'all remember reading about that in the scriptures? That's what's going on here. And what David did is he made a song about it. Think about it. Of course, the Psalms are just like a hymn book, really. And he, at this time, was in a hardship. You know, sometimes songs comes out of hardship. Don't you agree? Sometimes songs comes out of hardship. And that's what happened with regard to this particular text. David was fleeing away from Saul, and he was in a cave. That's what the text says. So can you imagine that? David would eventually be King David, a man after God's own heart, and King Saul would eventually be deposed from the position that he was in. But right at this particular point, David had wrote a hymn or a song, if you want to call it that. I think that's what it is. He wrote a song in Psalm 57 about this experience. And we can learn things from reading the Psalms. We can learn a lot of things from reading the Psalms. Now, I've done all the Psalms. I'm most positive I did. And if you got a computer, you can go online and you can get those. It took me forever to get through the Psalms. How many of you remember me doing the Psalms? Well, that's good. But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful study, and I enjoyed it. But we did do it all. So we'll just look at pieces of it every now and again. And I just wanted to do this evening. Okay. All right. The first point that we're looking at this evening is when calamities come, what do you do? What do you do whenever calamities come? Let's look at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful. So David is crying out for mercy. And the reason why he wanted mercy is he was going through a hard time. And that's a lot of times when you read the Psalms, the writer is going through a hard time, a difficult situation. And that's what all of us go through at one time or the other. As long as we're on this old world, there's going to be sorrows and problems and troubles. And that's what you see in the Psalms. That's what you see in the Psalms. So he cries for the Lord to be merciful to him. To be merciful to him. Not only does he cry one time, but he cries it twice. He says, "Oh God, be merciful unto me." And he goes on to say, "For my soul trusteth in thee." Now that's a thing that people need to do with regard to the Lord. They need to trust him. We need to trust him. And that's what it says in the text. He says in verse 2, "I will cry unto the Lord Most High, unto God that performeth all these things for me." He performs all these things for me. So what he wants us to do, he wants us to trust in him. Now, what do we got to trust him for? Well, really, we have to trust him for pretty much everything, do we not? We got to trust him for pretty much everything. And we trust him to provide our needs, right? We trust for him to provide our needs and to watch over our church. And we trust him for everything. And we must do that. Hey, it's a wonderful thing to trust in the Lord, don't you think? That's where your strength comes from. A lot of times people fall out, fall away whenever hardships comes, but you need worship to raise you up. You need scripture to raise you up. You need prayer to raise you up. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ to raise you up. We all need this, and it's important that we have it. So he was going through a calamity. That's why he asked for mercy. He said, I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Can I ask you a question? Are we in a time of calamity? Amen. Well, of course we are. Of course we are. And the calamities always will show back up again. Well, there will always be calamities. But historically, God's people have always trusted God's word. We put our hope in the Lord. We put our strength in our God. God gives us strength. Without His strength, we couldn't make it. Without His strength, we'd fall apart. But God gives His people strength to carry on. And that's what we must do. Okay? So, well, when calamities come, what do? Well, you cry out for mercy. You cry out for your God. And that's what He does right here, right off the bat. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in Thee. In the shadow of Thy wings, I will make my refuge. You can see, I've seen birds do that before. They have little baby birds, and then their mother will put their wings right over it for protection. And that's what this is talking about here in this particular text. It's a beautiful thing to see. One day I was on the back porch, and I heard a little bird crying around and everything, and I kept looking, and it looked like it had two heads. And I thought, what in the world's going on with this? And I got to looking close and closer, and one was a little baby bird and the mother right there with it. It was a beautiful picture of what this text looks like. He says, I will cry unto Thee, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. So this is a text of warning, and he's drawing strength. He's drawing strength from his God. And everybody that's here tonight, and if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's one of the greatest things you can have. God is with us, and God works in us. He works in us also. And it's a wonderful thing to know Him. And He gives you peace. I'd like to tell you, no, I wouldn't like to tell you, but I'm not really worried about anything. I'm not worried about nothing. I guess if a rocking ball or some kind of ball come through the top and hit me on top of the head, maybe something like that might happen. But I'm not worried about nothing. Can I ask you a question? What are you worried about? You know what I'm worried about? Nothing. My dad used to say, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about who's going to bury that last man. That's what Dad always used to say. Remember that? That's what he'd always say. The only thing I'm worried about is who's going to bury that last man. That's what Pop would say, which meant he never worried about anything. And in order not to worry about things, you know what that means you have to do, don't you? You got to trust Him. He's got it. This whole big mess that the country's in and all that, He's got it. He's in charge of this thing. He can turn things around. He may be sending judgment. We don't know. But He'll take care of His people. He always has. He always has. Now, things might get rougher in some other ways. I don't know. But we trust Him, and we love Him, and He watches after His people. So He said, I'll send from heaven and he'll save me from the reproach of him that would follow, that would swallow me, that would swallow me up. You know, the old devil would like to swallow you up. The old devil would like to just completely swallow God's people up. He shall send from heaven and shall save me from the reproach of them that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. God gives us mercy. I deserve judgment, but God, give me mercy. You know what mercy is? You know what mercy is? It's getting what you don't deserve. That's what mercy is. If I got what, if I got what I deserved, I'd slide right into hell. But God gave me what? Mercy. Mercy's a wonderful thing. God's the one that grants mercy. And he did that with regard to us, me, you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. He's bestowed upon us his mercy. I never deserved the good that he done for me, but he did. And he did it because he bestowed upon me his mercy. You know what mercy is, don't you? It's getting what you don't deserve. I don't deserve what God done for me and how God saved me. I mean, I didn't deserve it at all. But God bestowed upon me his what then? Mercy. It's the most wonderful. It's one of my favorite words is mercy. Aren't you glad God gave you mercy? Where would you be at tonight if God didn't give you mercy? Where would you be at? What would you be doing tonight if God never gave you mercy? He's the one that done it, and it's the most wonderful thing that a person can ever have. And he does that in a new birth. When he brings about the new birth and you're born again, he bestows his mercy on you. He bestows his mercy on you. And that's what sinners people need. They need God's mercy. In order to be saved, they need God's mercy. They need God's grace. That's what the sinner person needs more than anything else. I think many times what folks do is they talk people that are lost into thinking that they're okay when they're not okay unless they trust Jesus. You got to have Jesus. You got to have Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no mercy. The only place you can find mercy is in him. And you know what the Lord does? He bestows that on you by his grace. I didn't deserve mercy. I deserved hell. But God bestowed upon me his mercy and grace. That's what he did. Okay? Let's read a little bit farther. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. The old devil would like to swallow you up, but he can't because we're kept by the power of who? Kept by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Kept by the power of God. He says in verse 4, that my soul is among lions. Now, don't understand whether that's, I don't think that's real lions. It could be. But he's in a situation that's obviously very dangerous. And he says, my soul is among lions. And that'd be people, it's either people or actually the animal. I'm more prone to think it's people that's seeking to swallow him up. And a lot of times that's what happens with regard to Christian people when they work on jobs sometimes and where they go to school at, sometimes that. And a lot of times what happens is the lost people many times will seek to swallow Christian people up or make fun of Christian people or save people. Sometimes that happens that way. And they seek to swallow them up. Okay? It says, my soul is amongst lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. So you can see the situation that he's facing in this particular text. Where's David at this time? Look back up at the very top. Where's he at? He's in a cave. He's in a cave. And obviously he's like on the run. When you look at the text, that's what it's all about. It says, when he fled from Saul in a cave. And this is the same David, that struck down the lion. This would later on be King David. Look at the mess that he's in. Look at the king is after him, and look at what he's going through. But God still had a plan for him, and God still had protection for him. He kept him from being killed. He kept him from being killed. I'm sure the king wanted to kill him, but God kept David from death because he had big plans for David. What were they? Well, he's going to grow up to be King David. He's going to grow up to be King David. And he's going to be one of the greatest kings that ever ruled in Israel. He was. Okay? So, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. Here we're going back again, and you can see that there's something going on with regard to the psalmist. They have prepared a net for my what? For my steps. And that's what they would use nets at that time to trip people up. So you see the hardships that especially it seems to come through big time in this particular psalm. In this particular psalm. You can see some of the hardships that as a man before he was actually king, you can see how hard of a situation that he was going through even here. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let the glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, and they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. Verse 6 shows you that the latter stages of all this planning that they did, the problem with regard to the enemies was they themselves fell in them. So evidently there was some kind of moving of the Lord to protect David. Did God have big plans for David? Did God have big plans for him? He sure did. He sure did. Be one of the greatest kings that ever reigned. Who's going to be the greatest king that ever reigns? Jesus. King Jesus. Yeah. All right. Now let's move to verse 7. He says, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. And the idea of fixed is that his heart is settled. His heart, he isn't frightened or scared, but he's fixed. He's stable. He's not afraid. Hey, beloved, isn't that how we should be? Even in all this mess that we're in right now, isn't that how we should be? Should we be settled or should we be scared? I don't think God's people should be scared. I think God's on his throne and in charge of things, and I think God's going to take care of things. I really do. I don't know how he's going to do it, anything of that nature, but the psalmist says, my heart was fixed. My heart was fixed, which means it was settled. He was firm. and sure, trusting in the Lord. That's the idea of fixed. So he wasn't afraid. You know how you get that way? Trusting in the Lord. Sometimes I like to say to folks, hey, God's got it. If God's got it, there's no use to worry about it, is there? He's got it. He's in control. We say it all the time, one of our statements of faith, God is in control even when things look out of control. And that, I don't know, it just gives me strength. So, am I worried about all this stuff that's going on? No. No, I just think God's got it. Same God that took care of me, all these years before. I'm 60. Can't even believe I'm 60. Those 60 years that I've lived down to, God took care of me for that 60. And I think he'll continue to take care of me. All God's people say it. I think it's a wonderful thing. God's got it. And I think every now and then what we need to do is God's people say, hey, God's got it. There's no use to worry about it. What good does it do to worry about it? That going to make it go away or whatever? What good does that do? What good does worry do? It'll make you sick. It'll make you weak spiritually. Did you hear what I just said? It'll make you weak spiritually. I just, beloved, I just know God's got it, and I trust him. And I trust him. So my heart is what? Verse 7, fixed. It's fixed. And that's how our heart should be. His heart was, here, let me read it again. His heart was settled. He was firm and sure, trusting in the Lord. That's the meaning of fixed. Let me give it to you again. His heart was settled. He was firm and sure, trusting in the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And that's what we do. That's what God's people do. Now, let's read on down. Read on down in the text. Psalms 57. And it says, my heart is fixed, verse 7. Oh God, my heart is fixed. He says it twice. Two times. See, he's not, I would say he's not scatterbrained about it. He